Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Well, Bark Radio listeners, we have a treat in store for you today. We have a gentleman with us whose claim to fame, at least as far as I know, is he's Oogie's dad. Welcome, Larry.
Welcome, Larry.
Hi, thanks. You know, I told my wife not long ago I know what it's like to date George Clooney. We go out and people will come up to me and go, didn't I see your dog on television? Haven't I seen your dog? It's like it's never me, but, you know, that's understandable. I'm not.
Well, absolutely. He's unforgettable.
Yeah, he's
yes.
A handsome lad.
Well, Larry, for those two or three people in this world who have not heard about Oogie, let's start there. Could you please tell our listeners a little bit about him?
Sure. Oogie was a bait dog. When he was somewhere between 3 and 4 months old, he was used as bait for fighting dogs. And the left side of his face, from just behind his muzzle to in back of his ear, including his left ear, was torn off. He was then thrown into a cage and left to die. And he lay there for, my vet estimate, the vet that saved him, Dr. Bianco, estimates 5 to 7 days. No food, no water, no medication, just bleeding to death. He was found in a drug bust by the police. He was taken to a local animal hospital, local to Philadelphia, Ardmore, near where we live. Had the police taken him to the SPCA, as they're now required to do, he'd have been euthanized on the spot. Ardmore operated for 3.5 hours, managed to save him, although they didn't think that they could. Healed him, and we adopted him when we met him by accident and took him home when he was about 4 months old. And he's now 8.5 years old.
Wow.
What a great life for this dog who started out as a bait dog. Wow.
I can't even imagine the suffering that poor dog went through. It's mind-boggling. Just leave the dog there. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
It is mind-boggling. And one of the things that's always fascinated me is what kept this dog going? Why did he live? He seemed to know, and I know it sounds foolish, but he had to know that there was something waiting for him on the other side of this. I mean, this is a dog that was starved, brutalized, had never known human kindness, and he stayed alive. And I've told people this before, and again, it might sound silly, but when we encountered Oogie at the animal hospital, it was as though he knew who we were. He had been waiting for us. My sons, who are now 20, were 12 at the time, and I remember Oogie was coming out of the back for a walk, and we saw him and Noah went down on one knee, and Oogie literally rocketed into him so hard that he knocked him over and just stood
on
his chest licking him. And we surrounded him and fell in love with him on the spot and took him home.
Well, and I don't think what you said is silly at all, Larry. I think that in his doggy heart, Oogie did know that he was going to have a marvelous future, and he was just waiting for you to find him.
That's how it seems, or he was waiting for him to find us.
Yeah. And, okay, so you took Oogie home. Tell us about life with Oogie when he was a pup.
Oogie was a maniac. It was like he was electrified, and nothing was safe. I can't tell you the number of things that he did. You know, it was puppydom. It never bothered me. I remember even before we got Oogie, my brother sent me a cartoon which has a judge looking down at a little puppy and banging a gavel and saying, not guilty because puppies do these things. So
that's right, they do.
They do. And, you know, eventually the switch clicked and he calmed down. But Oogie became known in our house as the third twin. And whatever the boys were doing, Oogie would demand to do. When they played outside, he would be with them. When they were inside watching TV, he was on the couch. When they were doing homework, he was bothering them. So he's always been part of the family, and we've never treated him as anything distinct other than a part of the family. And I think that's been part of the rapport that we've developed, is because he knows that he's been fully accepted.
Oh, yeah, you're his pack.
Yeah, you know, if I knew then what I know now about the difficulties that one can encounter in taking an abused fighting dog and rehabilitating him, I'm not sure I would have been so glib in jumping into it. But I didn't know better, and as it turned out, there weren't any problems. And he's just been a wonderful dog from the outset. Glad to be here.
Tell our listeners what breed you found out that Oogie is.
Oh, that's a funny story, too. Up until the moment that I had met Oogie, you couldn't have gotten me into the room with a pit bull because I was so – they had such bad press, and I was so terrified of them. And then the vet said – and when we got Oogie, he weighed about 30 pounds, 35 pounds. And the vet said he was a pit bull and that he would max out at about 55 pounds. And it didn't matter to me. I was just so in love with the dog. And I've since learned that they're just wonderful, wonderful animals. But we brought Oogie back for his first checkup 6 months later, and we walked in the door, we being Oogie and I walked in the door, and the woman behind the counter saw him and went, "Ah, that's a dogo." And I said, "What's a dogo?" And she started to laugh, but she said, "I'm not sure." So I looked him up on the internet.
Okay.
The breed is Dogo, D-O-G-O, Argentino. And I have read, and I can't vouch for it as being true because I've learned that things that you read on the internet may or may not be true, but I've learned that they're the most genetically engineered dog breed that there is. There are 9 different dogs that were used to develop the breed, and they were developed in the 1920s to hunt mountain lion and wild boar. Mountain lion are very destructive of livestock, and wild boar are very destructive of crops, and farmers in Argentina couldn't control them. So they developed the breed, and they're pack hunters. And they're also bred to be amazing, to be wonderful family dogs. So that all things considered, Oogie could be, he's not a hunting dog like you're used to in the United States, which is a pointer or a retriever. The Dogo was bred to be a killer dog. And a pack of Dogos can take down a 300-pound boar. But because they're also bred to be family dogs, they're loving and trusting, and once they find that their family has accepted somebody, they will be accepting of the people as well. And I've never encountered a moment of aggressiveness with Oogie towards people or other dogs or animals of any kind. So it's a testament to his breeding, and it's remarkable given his history that he turned out that way.
Yeah, the dogs are so resilient. I don't understand that humans couldn't survive what poor Oogie went through.
You know, I'm reading The Lost Dogs now about the Michael Vick dogs, and it's just validation for everything that I've experienced. Nobody thought that these dogs would turn out to be as loving as they were, and they couldn't be sweeter.
And that's the thing. Terry and I talk about all of that breed-specific legislation, all what you're talking about, the bad media about bully breeds and that sort of thing. It's all absolute nonsense.
It is. You're right.
And the more media that happens about the survivors, the Vic dog survivors, that sort of thing, the ones who have become therapy dogs, you know, I mean, all they want is love, like all dogs do. And what thrilled me with that case was that the dogs were given the opportunity to be rehabilitated. You know, they brought in the folks who could look at the dogs because they were behaviorists and determine, okay, you know, this dog can make it. Let's just work on this one, and then we'll do this one, and then we'll do this one. In the past, I'm so afraid they would have all just been put down.
Well, actually, you know, one of the amazing things about life is that good things come out of bad things in ways that one could never imagine. So you have this horrific stable of fighting dogs, and as near as I can tell, up until that bust, fighting dogs were euthanized on the spot. And then people, because of this of what these dogs went through, people realize that the breed does have salvage value.
Absolutely.
And they can be saved. And, you know, only two of the 51 dogs that were found in the bust ended up being euthanized,
yeah,
both of which
huge.
Were so sick they couldn't be saved.
But that's huge. That's such a big step in the right direction.
It is. There's a ways to go, but that's the right step.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's been a major shift in, you know, up until this point, there were at least one or two national or international organizations whose policy was euthanize these dogs on the spot. And now they realize that they have to be individually evaluated. And so it's had that, you know, it's had that beneficial effect.
Well, tell us about, now, how big did Oogie grow? How big is he now? Is he as muscular as he looks in his pictures?
He is. Oogie's like a pit bull on steroids. He's 85 pounds of solid muscle. Now, normally the males of the breed are 100 to 110 pounds. But because he was starved as a pup, he's only 85, which is actually a good thing because Oogie goes where Oogie wants to go, and I can't stop him. And if he was at 85 pounds, he's literally pulled me off my feet more than one occasion. And if he was 110 pounds, there's no way that I could control him.
Right. So what's his life like, Larry? You were telling us earlier before we started recording that the boys are in college now. So what's it like for Oogie with his kids gone away some of the time?
I spend a lot of time with him. He sleeps with me every night. When the boys are home, he sleeps with the boys. They're his partners of choice. We get up. I make sure he's fed. I go out for a while. I take him to the dog park pretty much every day, unless it's so bitter cold or rainy that he's not going to stand it. He hates the rain. He doesn't mind the snow, but he hates the rain. Come home, and I spoil him as much as I can.
Good for you. Good doggy daddy.
Sounds like a good life.
A lot of people would think it's foolish, but it's really, you know, when I refer to him as the third twin, it's really what it's like.
And that's so wonderful for the whole family unit. Carrie and I are the same way with our dogs. I have 5 labs at my house.
Wow.
And Terry has a couple of cattle dogs. And our dogs are members of our family, absolutely. And
absolutely.
We adore them, and we want only what's best for them. So Oogie's in the same boat, and how fabulous is that?
You know, one of the things that I've learned since the book came out, I mean, the benefit of, for me, for my wife and I, the benefits of the book haven't been financial because really we haven't seen anything yet. But all the people that we've gotten to meet who are so dedicated to saving dogs, and my conclusion is that in number terms, there are a lot more people doing really great things for dogs than there are doing really bad things to dogs. It's just that the people doing the bad things to dogs get the press. But there's the international network of people who are dedicated to rescue is phenomenal.
Well, you're absolutely right. And what you just said that has happened with you because of the book, Terry and I have been talking about lately, has happened to us because of Bark Radio. We have met the most extraordinary people from all over the world,
right,
as you said, doing marvelous things within the world of rescue. It's phenomenal to me. There are so many good, loving people who just put everything they have into helping dogs. And we love all of them, and it's just such a pleasure to get to know them, you know?
I know. Maybe it's because of a function of my age, because I hate to admit it, but I am in my 60s. But having a bestseller really hasn't meant anything to me other than the people that it hasn't changed a thing, other than the people that we've gotten to meet, and that would never have happened were it not for the book.
Exactly. Now, I know one thing we haven't touched on. How did you come by the name Oogie?
I was drunk. What happened is the boys and I fell in love with a dog, and as I told you before we began, the dog we had before Oogie was a rescue that ended up biting three people. And so we'd go home that Saturday, and I said to my wife, wow, Danny and Noah and I found this dog we really fell in love with. And she said, really, tell me about it. And I said, well, he's a pit bull. And she said, oh, really? And I said, wait, there's more. And she said, what do you mean there's more? And I said, well, he was a bait dog, and he's missing half his face. So Jennifer had concerns that you know, we had a fighting dog who'd been brutalized. And she said, okay, I understand how much you love this dog. Let me talk to the vet. And if he can assure me that the dog will be safe, we'll give it a try. So that Monday, we went over to the vet, and Dr. Bianco looked her right in the eye and said, this is one of the happiest dogs I've ever met in my life. He will never, ever bite anybody.
Wow.
So Jenny said, okay, let's give it a try. So she went back to work, and I'm driving home, and I started to think about this dog, and what am I going to name this dog? And I started to laugh out loud because he was just so horrifically ugly. I mean, you have to realize that half of his head was scar tissue, bright pink scar. When I first met him, I thought he had been in a fire and had melted. And I start thinking, wow, this is one ugly dog, and I knew I couldn't call him ugly. And from ugly, it went to, in less time than it takes to tell you, it went to a term I had used in high school, oogly. As in, man, that's one oogly sweater. And from oogly, it went to, from oogly, it went to oogie. So oogie is really a derivative of ugly.
And you know what? Oogie doesn't know that. He just thinks he's a handsome boy.
He is a handsome boy. I mean, he's very distinctive. You're not going to meet many dogs that look like him.
And how have people in public responded to Oogie over the years?
Initially, at least in our neighborhood, he terrified everybody because he was so – people would walk or run by the house. We have about an acre of ground. And he would walk or run by the house and bark at people, and they were scared. He just wanted to say hello.
Mm-hmm.
And on more than one occasion when I was walking him around the neighborhood, we'd run into people who admitted they were terrified, and by the time they were done meeting him they were on their knees giving him kisses. So he's never really encountered any kind of adverse reaction other than the superficial reaction to people. Once people get to know him,
they adore him.
They adore him. In fact, at the dog park, which we go to 4, 5, 6 times a week, he's known as the sheriff. And I know it's hard for people to believe, but when there is a dust-up and one dog is getting aggressive with another, Oogie will come over and back down the aggressive dog. And I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. I didn't give him the nickname of the sheriff. In fact, on Saturday, I saw it happen on two occasions.
That's phenomenal.
It really is.
Are you amazed by dogs? I am amazed by them every day of the week.
Yeah, I wish I knew more about them.
Well, one of the things that's so wonderful for you, Larry, is spending the time that you spent with Oogie, and you're paying attention, and you're learning so much from him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a trainer, and I learn from dogs every single day of my life, my own and other people's. And it's just, like you were saying earlier in the broadcast, it is paying attention. They communicate. Yeah.
They surely have a lot to teach us about how we should treat other people,
mm-hmm.
And not go into relationships guardedly necessarily, but be receptive to what other people have to tell us.
Have an open heart.
We were talking about communication before. Dogs have a tremendous amount to tell us. You just have to learn how to listen.
Yeah. And people don't. That's the shame. But I think Oogie's a great ambassador. I mean, just not only, I mean, his looks are striking to me. I find him quite cute. And what, as you describe his personality, sounds amazing. I mean, how can people not like that once they give him a chance?
He's a great example. Once the weather, before the book began, it took me 2.5 years to write the book. But before that began, I started training Oogie to be a therapy dog. And my plan is this spring, once the weather gets nicer, to do that again. And then I want to take Oogie to veterans hospitals and children's hospitals, because I think he's living proof that you can go through the most horrific experience and be even horribly disfigured and come out not only okay on the other side, but come out with your love and your dignity intact. By way of a true story, if I have a minute to tell you, when my sons were seniors in high school, Dan had been, they're Dan and Noah, and Dan was a wrestler, among other things, and by his senior, he was a championship wrestler as a junior, and his senior year he was named captain of the wrestling team, co-captain of the football team, co-captain of the lacrosse team, along with his brother, and he quit football, and he said to the coach, "I can't put on 25 pounds and play football and then take it off in wrestler, and I don't have any future as a football player, but I may have a future as a wrestler." So starting in June, he worked out and wrestled 5 days a week, and by the start of the season, he was in animal shape, and the third match of the season, he tore the tendon in his right elbow, and he lost the entire season. He wept in my arms, and he came back with 2 weeks left to go, and he ended up winning the championship again, and he was voted by the coaches at the tournament the outstanding wrestler of the tournament because they knew what he had been through to get there. He's the only wrestler in the history of his school to get that award. And about a week later, he and I were sitting on the couch, and I said, "By the way, Dan, did anything that your dog went through give you any inspiration for what you went through?" And he said, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, it did." And I was surprised, and I said, "Really, what?" He said, "Stuff happens, and you can't let it define who you are."
Wow. And that's a senior in high school.
Yeah, he was 17 or 18 at the time.
Yeah, sounds like he gets it.
He got it.
That's amazing, Larry. Just that lesson that Oogie taught him.
Well, we've talked about that. I mean, and this is a lesson for everybody. The worst thing that ever happened to this dog is the best thing that ever happened to this dog. Because if it hadn't have happened, it wouldn't have been here. So we've learned that when something bad happens, you can't treat it as though that's the lesson, because you don't know where it's going to end up. And bad things end up turning into good things.
You are so right. And this is such a brilliant story. And I'll tell you what I would love, Larry. I would like to keep up with you guys. And when you get Oogie registered as a therapy dog, and after he has some experience out there, you know, working with folks as a therapy dog, we'd love to talk to you again about that. Because,
oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think, as you said, he will be fabulous with kids, with vets. My 92-pound chocolate male lab and I, he's my therapy dog, and what he does for veterans at our veterans hospital is just incredible. Oogie, what an inspiration to guys coming back from the war.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I was told a couple of weeks ago that Walter Reed Army Hospital will not let any of the pit bull breeds in as therapy dogs.
Excuse me?
Yep. That's what I was told. They're, because of the negative images that the pit bull, you know, pit bull is not a breed. Pit bull
right.
is actually a collection of, I think there's three different dogs fall into the category. They won't let any of them in as therapy dogs.
Okay, we're going to have to look into that, and we're going to end up doing an episode on it.
Please do, because I meant to look into it, too.
Yeah, and if you find out anything, when you find out anything, share it with us, please. And we'll
sure, I'd be happy to.
You, because that is so wrong on so many levels.
Oh, it is. I mean, especially veteran. I'm working on another book right now, and here's the genesis of the book is I got an email from a woman 2 months ago, and her husband is an Iraqi war veteran, and he received a severe head injury in Iraq, and he can't concentrate, so he can't be employed. He's lost all the ability to concentrate. And she read him our book, and he was so enamored of the story that he wants to meet us. And I said, sure, when the weather gets nice, they live all the way across the state. I said, we'll figure out a way, we'll meet halfway. But what she also told me is that they have a rescued pit bull. And when her husband has nightmares, the pit bull licks him awake and then cuddles next to him.
You know what? His dog, his pit bull is being his service dog. Absolutely. And I love that kind of story, and I can't wait to read the new book. But
well, it's a long way to go. I'm only 4,000 words into it. So.
Oh, my.
You'll get there, though. So, Larry, for the folks that don't know how to contact you, give us a website, and where can we pick up your
book? I don't have a website because I'm so technologically inept, but there is a Facebook page, and they can get to Oogie on a Facebook page.
Okay,
and then
great.
Sometime between now and then, I will I'm going to develop a website. We're going to be – we're developing and going to market Oogie T-shirts, and all the profits will go to rescues and medical funds. And we're also going to develop an Oogie soft toy. And, again, all the profits, any profits, you know, it could be $6, it could be $60, who knows. Whatever we make, again, will go to rescue. I want to set up a fund with Ardmore Animal Hospital that saved Oogie at no charge. So that if people come there and need it and their animals need attention and they can't afford it, they can draw on that fund. So hopefully we'll make some money off these endeavors.
That's awesome.
Well, what we'd love for you to do, Larry, is as you get things going, when you get the website up, just pop us an email, let us know, and we'll push it out for you. And it's been such a pleasure talking with you. You've got a great story. You've got a dog with a great heart. And thank you for sharing his story with the world.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to do that, and I look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.